Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. I hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. And shout out to all my people listening to bed right now. I'm right here with, well, I'm actually not right there with you. You're in the bed and I'm live in the Kia Studios, you feel me? But hey, shout out to you for tuning in. Either way it goes, we got a lot to get into this morning. Obviously, I was not here yesterday, I should say. I was still coming back from Philly. I was in the city of brotherly love. As you all know, my girlfriend Simone is an Eagles fan. Shout out to Simone. She's sleeping right now, but she's an Eagles fan. And we try to go to some Eagles games here and there. And we went to the Eagles 49ers game, one of the biggest games, not only for the Eagles and the Niners, but one of the biggest games in the NFL all year. So that's where we were. We went to the game on Sunday, had ourselves a very merry time, and we'll talk about it more in the 540 segment. So we'll talk about that more in about 38 minutes. But I'll give you the recap and all that stuff then. But that's where I was this weekend. We left on Saturday and got back about 7 p.m. yesterday. So, again, we'll give you the full recap on how that went, what the weekend was like, what we did, what we ate, all that good stuff. We'll talk more about that, again, in about 38 minutes here at 5:40. But to start off, obviously, the Falcons, yes, sir, got themselves a big old victory against the New York Jets. Second win in a row for the first time since winning their first two games of the season versus the Panthers and the Packers. Georgia, ooh, not so much of a yes, sir, but a, oh, man, a no, sir, as they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game. And they do not make the college football playoff, which I have to say, I think the committee got it right as far as the top four goes. However, we'll talk more about that here in about 17 minutes, coming up at 5:20. I do want to start on a positive note, you dig, and talk about the Atlanta Falcons getting a win against the New York Jets in the conditions and all. In a game that was messy, sloppy, nasty, it was still a sight for sore eyes to see the Falcons get a nice win against the Jets. Final score, what, 13-8? A very weird score there, but that's because the Falcons got themselves touchdown, two field goals, and we saw the Jets get a safety and two field goals. So that was the little bit of a scoring summary there. But the Falcons do win 13-8. Desmond Ridder, look, turnover-free game. We didn't need him to do too much. I told you. All we needed was a turnover-free game from Desmond Ridder. And that's what we got. Now, he did have a fumble, but it was not recovered by the Jets, thankfully. We had a lot of fumbles. I mean, that could be because of the conditions, because conditions, again, were kind of nasty out there. But Cordarrelle Patterson fumbled. Desmond Ridder fumbled. D'Alford fumbled. Luckily, they were all recovered by the Falcons. And the I think D'Alford actually recovered he recovered a fumble as well from the Jets. But either way it goes, they did not lose any fumbles, so that is the most important thing there. But turnover-free game for the Falcons, and Desmond Ridder was solid. He did what the Falcons needed him to do at the end of the day. Not turn the ball over, threw a very nice touchdown pass to Michael Pruitt. Very well-placed ball, and it was a great catch by Michael Pruitt as well. Good job getting by Pruitt getting both feet in bounds. But Ridder, 12 of 27, 121 yards, a touchdown. Did get sacked three times, so obviously you don't want that happening. But either way it goes, it was a solid outing for Desmond Ridder. Again, played turnover-free football, did exactly what the Falcons needed and wanted him to do. Bijan Robinson, as far as the ground game goes, led the team 18 carries, got a nice load of work. Only 53 yards, though. Again, yards were a little bit hard to come by against this Jets defense and in the conditions that the Falcons and the Jets were playing in. But team still ended up rushing for 90 yards on 34 carries. Again, Bijan, 18 carries, 53 yards. Tyler Algier, 8 carries, 26 yards. Cordarrelle Patterson, 5 carries, 11 yards. And Desmond Ridder did have 3 rushes, but he didn't have any yards. Kyle Pitts, it was good to see him get a little bit more heavily involved. He had 8 targets, 4 catches, 51 yards. Bijan doing his thing in the passing game as well. 5 targets, 3 receptions, 26 yards. Bijan, got to give congratulations to him. I believe he is the youngest player in Falcons history to get 1,000 yards from scrimmage. There was an official thing, an official announcement the Falcons had put out, and that's what I'm looking for now. But either way it goes, congratulations to Bijan Robinson. Nice feat for him. And he has been, again, as advertised throughout the entirety of the season thus far, just putting in work on the running game and the ground game. So very, very happy for Bijan Robinson there. And again, Falcons just got to keep finding ways to get him the ball. And good things will definitely happen. I do not have any doubts about that whatsoever. And I'm still looking for, here it is. I found it. So Bijan Robinson, fastest Falcon to reach 1,000 yards from scrimmage, tying William Andrews. And you're in good company if you're in a list with William Andrews. So congratulations to Bijan Robinson again. Fastest Falcon to reach 1,000 yards from scrimmage since William Andrews, tying William Andrews. So there you have it. That boy Jesse Bates, we got to talk about him, right? Got himself another interception, 2 in a row, and now 5 on the season. That's a new career high for Jesse. And, man, dude is just a straight-up ball hawk. And, again, we say it every time he makes a play, which seems like just about every game, but worth every single penny Jesse Bates was. So he gets himself an interception. And defensively, the Falcons had a nice day, get 4 sacks overall. Turnovers-wise, Jesse Bates, again, had the interception. And I believe, again, D. Alford had a fumble recovery. Bud Dupree had a forced fumble, I believe. So the Falcons force 3 turnovers, actually, because they got 2 fumble recoveries and an interception. So Falcons defense got some turnovers, being stingy and opportunistic, as we know they can be. And now the Falcons have not allowed a touchdown in 2 straight games. I believe it's 9 straight quarters the Falcons have allowed a touchdown in. So hopefully that can continue when they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this upcoming Sunday. That will be tough, though, because Mike Evans, that dude is a baller. What, 10 straight, 1,000 yards, 10 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons? I mean, dude is going crazy. Had another big game and caught another touchdown this past Sunday. I know Tiffany Blackman, our own Tiffany Blackman from Morning Shift, was covering that Panthers and Buccaneers game. But it was, again, a good day for the Falcons. And look, no matter how ugly the game looked, no matter how much at times you were like, ooh, or, you know, cringing a little bit or anything, one thing we are not going to do, we are not going to apologize for winning. We're not going to be sad that we won. Not to say that anybody is, but sometimes, look, people can get a little too overly critical, and I don't think that should be the case on a win. Look, you still have to give your critiques, and obviously in this business, we have to give our opinions about what we saw. But at the end of the day, you all know what's up. A win is a win is a gosh darn win. You got 2 in a row, you get back to 500, and this really hopefully can be a runway for the Falcons to get themselves on a nice little winning streak here. And I know we've heard that before, said that before, and it kind of went the other way. However, these next 3 games, you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. You already beat them on the road in Raymond James Stadium. Now they come into the Bends. You would think that should be a win for the Falcons. It's going to be tough to beat any team twice, but the Falcons have done a great job taking care of business in their division thus far, undefeated in the NFC South. You would like that to continue against the Buccaneers. And then the week after that, you would like to still continue against the Carolina Panthers. If you have them in, you have to travel to Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. But look, that team is obviously not great. They just went through a coaching change, firing Frank Reich after 11 games. That's a team I feel like even on the road you should beat. Then after that, you do have the Indianapolis Colts that have won 4 games in a row. Ready or not, Gardner Minshew is on the prowl. I mean, doing his darn thing. So Gardner Minshew has been playing well. That Colts team has been playing well. So they got the win even without Jonathan Taylor as well. So that game definitely will be tough, but you are playing them in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then after that, you have the Bears and then the Aints again. So, again, we knew this whole Falcons schedule would be favorable, but you have to figure this: these next two games against the Bucs and the Panthers, you have to feel pretty good about the Falcons winning. And if they don't get those two wins, you're probably a little disappointed. I know I probably will be. But focusing on the Falcons win over the Jets, again, Desmond Ridder did what he had to do. You got enough done in the run game and in the passing game to move the ball well enough. Again, obviously you want to score more touchdowns. You want the offense to be more effective. But you scored when you needed to, got turnovers when you needed to, made big plays on offense and defense when you needed to, and you can fix the rest. And again, I know we talked about how bad the Jets' run defense was, but again, we gave you the outliers of why they're so bad, because they have good players, and they showed they're not a terrible defense by any stretch. They got good players. It's just they've been in certain situations where they have been faced to stop the run more than other teams have. So we knew it was going to be a little bit tougher of a test. Obviously, the quarterback play for the Jets has not helped them and has pretty much hurt them all season long. But Falcons took advantage of that. And look, you don't apologize for who you play. You got to play who you play, whether that's Trevor Siemian or Tim Boyle or Zach Wilson or whoever. You can only play the opponent in front of you if you are the Atlanta Falcons. So Falcons get the victory, 13-8. 6-6, a full game and a half lead in the NFC South now. And it's going to be a big game taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because now they're at, what, 5-7? And again, with you at 6-6, obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are right there. Obviously, again, you have the tiebreaker, so that's good as of right now. But if they come in and split, then, you know, won't be great news. So big games continuing to come the way of the Atlanta Falcons, but got themselves a good win. Got a little dinged up, but Andre Smith played well at that linebacker position. Again, Bud Dupree, 2 sacks. He did his thing. So guys stepped up when they needed to, and the Falcons got themselves a nice W. All right. In 5 minutes, when we come back, I think the committee got it right. They could have maybe tweaked Georgia and Florida State a little bit, but as far as the top four goes, I think the committee was right. We'll talk about it next right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all my early gym goers. All my people already at work or on their way to work. Shout out to all my people listening to bed right now as well. Hope you all are doing well. We have our college football playoff matchups, and Georgia, the two-time defending national champions, will not be able to defend their title for a third consecutive season as they were left out of the college football playoff after a 27-24 loss to the Alabama Crimson Tide in the 2023 SEC Championship game. As far as my thoughts on the game go, then I'll get into the decision by the committee on their top four. As far as the game goes, again, reacting to it all now because I was not here on Monday, so my first opportunity to give my reactions to the big sports weekend. Carson Beck, 21-29, 243 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Did have a couple of turnover-worthy throws, though, that made you go, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey there, Carson. Easy there, killer. So there were definitely some throws like that. Look, the main thing for me in this game was that Georgia, despite their attempts, could not run the football. And they have been able to do that when nothing else is working, when nothing else is going for Georgia. And mind you, pretty much everything has been working for Georgia up until this game. But they've always been able to lean on the running game. That's always been their bread and butter. That's always been their backbone. Guess what? Nick Saban knew that. The players for Alabama knew that. And they took that away. So having 31 carries for 78 yards. I mean, I think that was the real thing for Georgia, that really hurt them offensively. And look, they were right there at the end. Obviously, you can look back to the missed field goal. Obviously, I think there were opportunities after that for Georgia to obviously come away with the win. So, you know, you can always look to the missed field goal. I'm like, oh, if they would have made the field goal. I get it. You know, the false start before the field goal, you know, you could argue that that field goal wasn't going to be missed if that false start doesn't happen. Either way it goes. After that point in the game, there was plenty of opportunity and chances for Georgia to rectify that mistake. But again, Carson, while he's, again, he definitely had some turnover-worthy throws. They didn't end up being turnovers. And at the end of the day, he was 21-29 with 243 yards. I think he did all you could really expect him to do. Passing the ball, had a couple of nice runs as well, too. I feel like he did all you could really expect him to. Now, he did lose a fumble, so he did have that turnover that obviously you hate, and that gave Alabama the ball right back, and it gave him in the red zone. Luckily, the defense was – I think the defense held him to a field goal there. It might have given up a touchdown. Either way it goes, that field goal obviously – that turnover obviously really hurt. And, again, while they had three rushing scores, they just – weren't able to run the ball with a lot of effectiveness to what you're usually used to seeing Georgia run the ball to. They did a good job spreading the ball around in the passing game. I mean, he hit, my goodness, what is this? 11 different receivers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different receivers. My goodness. So, did a good job spreading the ball around, sharing the wealth. I mean, you got Brock Bowers involved, 5 receptions, 53 yards. Ladd McConkey had 3 receptions, 38. They both were out there thugging it out. I mean, they both were trying their hardest. They both were clearly banged up, though. Ladd McConkey maybe a little bit more than Brock Bowers. But, again, at the end of the day, you couldn't run the football as effectively as Georgia wanted to. And then they just got absolutely zero pressure on Jalen Milroe most of the time. I know you sacked him a couple of times, but You really got no pressure more times than not on Jalen Milroe. And again, you had some spies, and those worked on multiple occasions. But more times than not, he had way too much time to throw. And he was just able to air the ball out. And Alabama ran the ball all over you, too. I mean, not ran it all over you, but they had 114 rushing yards. So they were just much more balanced. And I think that with the way Alabama was able to run the ball with a little bit more effectiveness than Georgia, again, with Georgia having to play Jalen Milroe the way they played him, you know, with some spies sometimes and not being able to pressure him a lot, Alabama was just able to stay way more balanced than Georgia was. And they were able to keep that Georgia defense off balance. I mean, we saw, Isaiah Bond. He goes 5 receptions for 79 yards. I mean, he was getting chunk play after chunk play, it seemed like. Jermaine Burton, obviously, the former dog, got the touchdown. So, Alabama just straight up played better than Georgia. I mean, there was no foul play involved or anything like that, but it was really just Alabama took it to Georgia, and they were the better team that day. Not by a whole lot, but you figured that was going to be the margin. You knew it was going to be a close game. You knew the game was going to go back and forth a little bit, but Alabama just the better team on that particular Saturday. So as far as the committee goes and if they got it right, I think they got it right. If you have not heard the latest college football playoff rankings because you been under a rock or something like that, I'll go ahead and give them to you. Number one, Michigan. Obviously, they take care of business against Iowa, winning 26-0. So they, rightfully so, get the number one spot. Number two is going to be Washington, the Fighting Andy Bunkers. Congratulations to Andy Bunker, by the way. His alma mater getting in the college football playoff. You love to see it. Happy for him. They got the win against Oregon. That was a really good game as well. Number three, Texas. They win the Big 12 championship. And even with the one loss, they are able to bounce back and get themselves into the college football playoff after winning the Big 12 championship over Oklahoma State. And at number four, Alabama. They were at number eight, win the SEC championship game after their one loss to Texas, which does not seem like a bad loss at all anymore. And really, for most of the season, never really seemed like a bad loss because Texas pretty much stayed in the top 10 all year. But those are your four: Alabama, Washington, Texas, and number one, Michigan's going to take on Alabama. Number two, Washington's going to take on Texas. And those should be two very interesting games. I think Alabama will beat Michigan, but I think that game will be close. I don't think Alabama's necessarily going to blow them out. I think it'll be a respectable game. Washington and Texas, don't really know how to feel about that game. I think Texas will win, but you never know with Washington. They had a good showing against Oregon, and you know they'll be feeling themselves a little bit, but that will be an interesting game. But I do have, as my early prediction goes, I do have Alabama and Texas in the national championship game, and I do have Alabama winning it all. So I do think Alabama is going to come back, run the table, win it all, and all the conversation about Nick Saban being washed up and this or that, I think all that's going to go away, and he's going to win himself, what, an eighth national title? Just crazy. So we'll see if it ends up shaking out that way, but I do think these will be good games. Georgia, they will play Florida State in the Capital One Orange Bowl. Georgia falls to number six after their loss to Alabama in the SEC championship game. Florida State went undefeated, won the ACC championship, but found themselves out of the college football playoff. Why? I think the committee's reasoning was right. They're a different team. Tate Rodemaker, the backup quarterback for Florida State, he did not play. He was having concussion symptoms all week, didn't really practice all week. So the third string quarterback for the Seminoles got in there, and he led Florida State to a 16-6 win over Louisville in the ACC championship game. Brock Glenn, third-string quarterback for the Seminoles. But, again, you don't want to put in a team that you know is not going to be set up for success in the college football playoff. I get it. Trust me, I get it. They won 13 games. They go undefeated. They win their conference championship. I get it. But that team that went 13-0, mainly won all those games, it was Jordan Travis at the helm. Not Brock Glenn, not Tate Rodemaker. It was Jordan Travis. And he's not there, and he's not coming back. So I get it, but to me, I just don't think it was the right move. Everybody that got in also won their conference championship. Texas won theirs. Alabama won theirs. Michigan won theirs. Washington won theirs. And if you're going to go by the criteria of you want the four best teams in, I think that's what happened. Now, you could argue, you know, Texas and Georgia, I get it, but Georgia was never going to get in unless complete chaos happened, which it didn't. But unless complete chaos happened, Georgia wasn't going to get in without a SEC championship game and one loss. You got to have one or the other. You either got to be undefeated and a conference champion, or if you're going to have one loss, you got to be a conference champion too. So you can't have a loss and no conference championship. That's not how you get in. So I think the committee got it right. I think these will be two very good matchups between four teams. And I have no qualms with what the committee decided to do. So you can always tweet at me your thoughts at _DylanMatthews. But I think the committee, for the most part, got it right. The only thing I will say real quick is if they were going to go off the reasoning that they did for Florida State not to be in the college football playoff, then shouldn't, and it doesn't matter because they're playing each other, so it really doesn't matter. But shouldn't Georgia have been maybe at number five then? If you're going to drop Florida State out of the college football playoff because they're not the same team, and I guess, you know, you can't put a undefeated conference champion over a one-loss non-conference champion. I get that. So I guess that's why Florida State's ahead. But, you know, you could argue Georgia should be at number five. But this is going to be the last year we got to have this discussion really to this extent because we're going through the 12 teams next season. That's going to be a lot of fun, by the way. So won't really have to worry about teams like Florida State getting left out, or even teams like Georgia who were dominant all year and have a hiccup in the SEC championship game. Georgia would have got in if there was a 12-team playoff this year. So I know the committee's happy. Last tough decision they had to make, and really they didn't have to make too many in this four-team era of the college football playoff, just this year and in 2014 as well. But I think the committee, look, they were going to be wrong to somebody. But they weren't wrong to me. But they were always going to be wrong to somebody with the decision they had to make. All right. When we come back, I'll recap my long weekend for you. Headed out to Philly. Took in Eagles, Niners. How was the game up close and in person? Where did I go to eat? What did we do beforehand? All that good stuff. I'll recap it for you. Give a little look into the life of your boy Dylan Matthews right here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday edition of the Hometown Take. We'll wrap it up with the final full segment next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all my early gym goers. All my people already at work or on their way to work. Shout out to all my people listening to bed right now as well. Hope you all are doing well. We have our college football playoff matchups. And Georgia, the two-time defending national champions, will not be able to defend their title for a third consecutive season as they were left out of the college football playoff after a 27-24 loss to the Alabama Crimson Tide in the 2023 SEC Championship game. As far as my thoughts on the game go, then I'll get into the decision by the committee on their top four. As far as the game goes, again, reacting to it all now because I was not here on Monday, so my first opportunity to give my reactions to the big sports weekend. Carson Beck, 21-29, 243 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Did have a couple of turnover-worthy throws, though, that made you go, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey there, Carson. Easy there, killer. So there were definitely some throws like that. Look, the main thing for me in this game was that Georgia, despite their attempts, could not run the football. And they have been able to do that when nothing else is working, when nothing else is going for Georgia. And mind you, pretty much everything has been working for Georgia up until this game. But they've always been able to lean on the running game. That's always been their bread and butter. That's always been their backbone. Guess what? Nick Saban knew that. The players for Alabama knew that, and they took that away. So, having 31 carries for 78 yards, I mean, I think that was the real thing for Georgia that really hurt them offensively. And look, they were right there at the end. Obviously, you can look back to the missed field goal. Obviously, I think there were opportunities after that for Georgia to obviously come away with the win. So, you know, you can always look to the missed field goal. I'm like, oh, if they would have made the field goal. I get it. You know, the false start before the field goal, you know, you could argue that that field goal wasn't going to be missed if that false start doesn't happen. Either way it goes, after that point in the game, there was plenty of opportunity and chances for Georgia to rectify that mistake. But again, Carson, while he definitely had some turnover-worthy throws, they didn't end up being turnovers. And at the end of the day, he was 21-29 with 243 yards. I think he did all you could really expect him to do. Passing the ball, had a couple of nice runs as well, too. I feel like he did all you could really expect him to. Now, he did lose a fumble, so he did have that turnover that obviously you hate, and that gave Alabama the ball right back, and it gave him in the red zone. Luckily, the defense was – I think the defense held him to a field goal there. It might have given up a touchdown. Either way it goes, that field goal, obviously, that turnover obviously really hurt. And – again, while they had three rushing scores, they just weren't able to run the ball with a lot of effectiveness to what you're usually used to seeing Georgia run the ball to. They did a good job spreading the ball around in the passing game. I mean, he hit, my goodness, what is this? 11 different receivers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different receivers. My goodness. So, did a good job spreading the ball around. Sharing the wealth. I mean, you got Brock Bowers involved, 5 receptions, 53 yards. Ladd McConkey had 3 receptions, 38. They both were out there thugging it out. I mean, they both were trying their hardest. They both were clearly banged up, though. Ladd McConkey maybe a little bit more than Brock Bowers. But, again, at the end of the day, you couldn't run the football as effectively as Georgia wanted to, and then they just got absolutely zero pressure on Jalen Milroe most of the time. I know you sacked him a couple of times, but you really got no pressure more times than not on Jalen Milroe. And again, you had some spies, and those worked on multiple occasions, but more times than not, he had way too much time to throw, and he was just able to air the ball out. And Alabama ran the ball all over you, too. I mean, not ran it all over you, but they had 114 rushing yards. So they were just much more balanced. And I think that with the way Alabama was able to run the ball with a little bit more effectiveness than Georgia, again, with Georgia having to play Jalen Milroe the way they played him, you know, with some spies sometimes, and not being able to pressure him a lot, Alabama was just able to stay way more balanced than Georgia was, and they were able to keep that Georgia defense off balance. I mean, we saw what Isaiah Bond, he goes 5 receptions for 79 yards. I mean, he was getting chunk play after chunk play, it seemed like. Jermaine Burton, obviously, the former dog, got the touchdown. So Alabama just straight up played better than Georgia. I mean, there was no foul play involved or anything like that, but it was really just Alabama took it to Georgia, and they were the better team that day. Not by a whole lot, but you figured that was going to be the margin. You knew it was going to be a close game. You knew the game was going to go back and forth a little bit, but Alabama just the better team on that particular Saturday. So as far as the committee goes and if they got it right, I think they got it right. If you have not heard the latest college football playoff rankings because you've been under a rock or something like that, I'll go ahead and give them to you. Number one, Michigan. Obviously, they take care of business against Iowa, winning 26-0. So they, rightfully so, get the number one spot. Number two is going to be Washington, the Fighting Andy Bunkers. Congratulations to Andy Bunker, by the way. His alma mater getting in the college football playoff. You love to see it. Happy for him. They got the win against Oregon. That was a really good game as well. Number three, Texas. They win the Big 12 championship. And even with the one loss, they are able to bounce back and get themselves into the college football playoff after winning the Big 12 championship over Oklahoma State. And at number four, Alabama. They were at number eight, win the SEC championship game after their one loss to Texas, which does not seem like a bad loss at all anymore. And really, for most of the season, never really seemed like a bad loss because Texas pretty much stayed in the top 10 all year. But those are your four: Alabama, Washington, Texas, and number one, Michigan is going to take on Alabama. Number two, Washington is going to take on Texas. And those should be two very interesting games. I think Alabama will beat Michigan, but I think that game will be close. I don't think Alabama is necessarily going to blow them out. I think it'll be a respectable game. Washington and Texas, don't really know how to feel about that game. I think Texas will win, but you never know with Washington. They had a good showing against Oregon, and you know they'll be feeling themselves a little bit, but that will be an interesting game. But I do have, as my early prediction goes, I do have Alabama and Texas in the national championship game, and I do have Alabama winning it all. So I do think Alabama is going to come back, run the table, win it all, and all the conversation about Nick Saban being washed up in this or that, I think all that's going to go away, and he's going to win himself, an eighth national title? Just crazy. So we'll see if it ends up shaking out that way, but I do think these will be good games. Georgia, they will play Florida State in the Capital One Orange Bowl. Georgia falls to number six after their loss to Alabama in the SEC Championship game. Florida State went undefeated, won the ACC Championship, but found themselves out of the college football playoff. Why? I think the committee's reasoning was right. They're a different team. Tate Rodemaker, the backup quarterback for Florida State, he did not play. He was having concussion symptoms all week, didn't really practice all week. So the third string quarterback for the Seminoles got in there and He led Florida State to a 16-6 win over Louisville in the ACC championship game. Brock Glenn, third-string quarterback for the Seminoles. But, again, you don't want to put in a team that you know is not going to be set up for success in the college football playoff. I get it. Trust me, I get it. They won 13 games. They go undefeated. They win their conference championship. I get it. But that team that went 13-0, mainly won all those games, it was Jordan Travis at the helm. Not Brock Glenn, not Tate Rodemaker. It was Jordan Travis. And he's not there, and he's not coming back. So I get it, but to me, I just don't think it was the right move. Everybody that got in also won their conference championship. Texas won theirs. Alabama won theirs. Michigan won theirs. Washington won theirs. And if you're going to go by the criteria of you want the four best teams in, I think that's what happened. Now, you could argue, you know, Texas and Georgia. I get it, but Georgia was never going to get in unless complete chaos happened, which it didn't. But unless complete chaos happened, Georgia wasn't going to get in without a SEC championship game and one loss. You got to have one or the other. You either got to be undefeated and a conference champion, or if you're going to have one loss, you got to be a conference champion too. So you can't have a loss and no conference championship. That's not how you get in. So I think the committee got it right. I think these will be two very good matchups between four teams. And I have no qualms with what the committee decided to do. So you can always tweet at me your thoughts at _DylanMatthews. But I think the committee, for the most part, got it right. The only thing I will say real quick is, if they were going to go off the reasoning that they did for Florida State not to be in the college football playoff, then shouldn't, and it doesn't matter because they're playing each other, so it really doesn't matter. But shouldn't Georgia have been maybe at number five then? If you're going to drop Florida State out of the college football playoff because they're not the same team, and I guess, you know, you can't put a undefeated conference champion over a one-loss non-conference champion. I get that. So I guess that's why Florida State's ahead. But, you know, you could argue Georgia should be at number five. But this is going to be the last year we got to have this discussion really to this extent, because we're going to the 12 teams next season. That's going to be a lot of fun, by the way. So won't really have to worry about teams like Florida State getting left out, or even teams like Georgia, who were dominant all year and have a hiccup in the SEC championship game. Georgia would have got in if there was a 12-team playoff this year. So I know the committee's happy. Last tough decision they had to make. And really, they didn't have to make too many in this four-team era of the college football playoff, just this year and in 2014 as well. But I think the committee, look, they were going to be wrong to somebody, but they weren't wrong to me. But they were always going to be wrong to somebody with the decision they had to make. All right, when we come back, I'll recap my long weekend for you. Headed out to Philly, took in Eagles, Niners. How was the game up close and in person? Where did I go to eat? What did we do beforehand? All that good stuff. I'll recap it for you. Give a little look into the life of your boy Dylan Matthews right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday edition of the Hometown Take. We'll wrap it up with the final full segment next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, early morning, late night, Uber and Lyft drivers, early morning, late night, limo drivers as well. All my early gym goers, shout out to y'all. My people already at work or on their way to work. Salute. I'm right here with you. And shout out to all my people in the bed right now as well. Go ahead and get up. Make sure you don't make yourself late. And it's pretty wild right now. It's like the actual game. This is very random, by the way. The actual Monday Night Football game is being replayed on NFL Network, and then I'm seeing highlights of it on the other TV on ESPN. It's just kind of like a, whoa, I'm seeing two things at once here, and it's the same thing. It's kind of freaky. But anywho, speaking of which, what a crazy Monday Night Football game. Looks like, at first, the Jaguars got off to a hot start. Looks like they were possibly going to blow out the Bengals. But the Bengals, I mean, they come back, no pun intended, roaring, and they give themselves a 34-31 overtime win against the then 8-3 Jaguars, 8-4 now, and the Bengals get back to 500 at 6-6. Jake Brown has said, no Joe Burrow, no problem. I got us. I got us. You forget I went to Washington. I bought out of Washington. Ask Andy Bunker about me, you dig? But now he had himself a really, really good game. And then obviously the Jaguars right now, they're holding their breath a little bit with the news of Trevor Lawrence. Bad ankle sprain. He's being evaluated for further testing and all that good stuff. So hopefully it's nothing too serious, but we'll see if Trevor Lawrence has to miss any additional time for the Jaguars. And we know that team goes as Trevor Lawrence goes. No shade to CJ Beathard, but he ain't Trevor Lawrence. So we'll see what happens there. And, man, you just hope there are no more injuries to any of these primetime quarterbacks. Joe Burrow's already gone. Obviously, we know about Aaron Rodgers. You just hope Anthony Richardson, I know he's a rookie, but still, you just hope there are no more injuries to any big-time QBs out there. So we'll see what happens going forward there. But speaking of big-time QBs and big-time games, I told you and I teased it, I was not here yesterday because Saturday, girlfriend and I, Simone, shout out to Simone, we went to the Eagles and 49ers game. She is an Eagles fan, and we went out there Saturday as we try to go to a couple Eagles games every season. And we went to the Eagles-Niners game because, of course, rematch of last year's NFC Championship game and just one of the biggest NFL games of the year and obviously one of the biggest games of the year for both the Eagles and the 49ers. And you can imagine that the game itself, not great. Obviously, the Eagles got absolutely blown out by the 49ers. It was kind of close at the beginning, but, I mean, San Fran really just ran away with that game almost from the jump. Debo went crazy. Brock Purdy had himself a nice game. Christian McCaffrey was Christian McCaffrey. And an Eagles defense that usually is pretty good, pretty stout. They could get no pressure on Brock Purdy. And they did a bad job of tackling. I mean, the 49ers got so many yards after the catch. I mean, remember that play, Juwan Jennings just absolutely throwing off. I think it was James Bradbury. I can't remember exactly who it was, but just throwing off the Eagles DB and just walking into the end zone. So the Eagles, usually a team who gets after the quarterback, tackles well, did neither of those things Sunday evening. And again, 49ers just kind of ran away with that one. But leading up to the game, obviously had a good time, got in Saturday around 11-ish. And went to go get some food, went to Cleaver's. It was the first time we had been to Cleaver's in Philly. It was really good. Got a cheesesteak, and they had these, like, chicken Philly egg rolls, too. Like, they were really good. So we got that. Went to Cleaver's. We went to this holiday market on Saturday that was in the city, and it was really nice. It was, like, kind of had, like, a – it wasn't, like, a completely German-themed holiday market, but it did have some German-themed food in there, had some holiday beverages that we indulged in, had some shops. So good stuff. We got some commemorative mugs from our experience there. We did go, it was on, was it Sunday before? No, it was Saturday. Saturday, we also, after we left the holiday market, we went to, I think it's the original Mitchell & Ness store. If you know Mitchell & Ness, you shop Mitchell & Ness, they have a lot of, obviously, sportswear, a lot of good sportswear gear, hats, hoodies, jerseys, all that good stuff. If you know about Mitchell & Ness, obviously, they have one here in Lenox, I believe, and there are probably some in other places here in Georgia, but I know they have one in Lenox for sure. But either way, we went to, I believe, again, the OG original Mitchell & Ness store. Simone got a very nice windbreaker, Eagles windbreaker. I found myself a old school red. It was like red, silver, black throwback Deion jersey that I had to get. So got that, spent a little chunk of change on that. I wasn't planning on spending any money in Mitchell & Ness, but you know it happens. So that was a fun time. Then just kind of chilled out the hotel, and we got some Italian food and just chilled out Saturday night, watched the SEC championship. I told them all, like, hey, I'm down with going. I want to go to the holiday market. I want to explore the city a little bit, but about 4 o'clock, we either need to be on the way to the hotel so I can pull up the SEC championship game on my phone and watch it until we get back to the hotel, or we need to be in the hotel by 4 p.m. I ain't playing around. I got to watch the SEC championship game. And so we were on the way back by 4 o'clock. I was watching the SEC. I started watching the SEC championship game in an Uber, and then obviously finished off watching it at the hotel. So it was a good time and cheered on the dogs, and obviously they didn't get the win. But Sunday, went to the tailgate. It was a little bit misty, not really rainy, but a little misty, but still had plenty of fun at the tailgate. They were serving up cheesesteaks, delicious. Obviously had a high income of cheesesteaks, and I am not complaining about that at all because cheesesteaks are one of my favorite foods. But anywho, fun time at the tailgate. A lot of, obviously, Eagles fans out there. There were a lot of 49ers fans, too. The 49ers were out on Sunday in Philadelphia. They were out. I do have to mention that. We saw a bunch at our hotel, a bunch on the flight to Philly, a bunch on the way back from Philly last night. There were obviously a bunch at the game. There were some at the tailgate. So the 49ers fans were loud and proud, especially after the game was won. But all in all, it was a good time. We had fun. That's all that really matters at the end of the day. Obviously, Simone wishes there was a different outcome. And, you know, her obviously being my gal, I wish the Eagles would have won too. Want to see her happy, but they didn't get the job done. But every NFL team always has that game, at least one of those games where you just don't have it. You just don't have it that Sunday, and a team gets the better of you. And for the Eagles, it was another good, really, really, really good team getting the better of them on Sunday. So nothing the Eagles should be overly concerned about, but definitely something they got to bounce back from. So that was my weekend in a nutshell, but happy to be back in the city and happy to be back talking all things sports with you. But when we come back, we got to wrap things up because it's going to be time to talk to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Tuesday edition of the morning shift right after this. And we'll wrap things up on the Tuesday edition of the Hometown Take right here live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, early morning, late night, Uber and Lyft drivers, early morning, late night, limo drivers as well. All my early gym goers, shout out to y'all. My people already at work or on their way to work. Salute. I'm right here with you. And shout out to all my people in the bed right now as well. Go ahead and get up. Make sure you don't make yourself late. And it's pretty wild right now. It's like the actual game. This is very random, by the way. The actual Monday Night Football game is being replayed on NFL Network, and then I'm seeing highlights of it on the other TV on ESPN. It's just kind of like a, whoa, I'm seeing two things at once here, and it's the same thing. It's kind of freaky. But anywho, speaking of which, what a crazy Monday Night Football game. Looks like, at first, the Jaguars got off to a hot start. Looks like they were possibly going to blow out the Bengals. But the Bengals, I mean, they come back, no pun intended, roaring, and they give themselves a 34-31 overtime win against the then 8-3 Jaguars, 8-4 now, and the Bengals get back to 500 at 6-6. Jake Brown has said, no Joe Burrow, no problem. I got us. I got us. You forget I went to Washington. I bought out of Washington. Ask Andy Bunker about me, you dig? But now he had himself a really, really good game. And then obviously the Jaguars right now, they're holding their breath a little bit with the news of Trevor Lawrence. It's bad ankle sprain. He's being evaluated for further testing and all that good stuff. So hopefully it's nothing too serious, but we'll see if Trevor Lawrence has to miss any additional time for the Jaguars. And we know that team goes as Trevor Lawrence goes. No shade to CJ Beathard, but he ain't Trevor Lawrence. So we'll see what happens there. And, man, you just hope there are no more injuries to any of these primetime quarterbacks. Joe Burrow's already gone. Obviously, we know about Aaron Rodgers. You just hope Anthony Richardson, I know he's a rookie, but still, you just hope there are no more injuries to any big-time QBs out there. So we'll see what happens going forward there. But speaking of big-time QBs and big-time games, I told you and I teased it, I was not here yesterday because Saturday, girlfriend and I, Simone, shout out to Simone, we went to the Eagles and 49ers game. She is an Eagles fan, and we went out there Saturday as we try to go to a couple Eagles games every season, and we went to the Eagles-Niners game because, of course, rematch of last year's NFC Championship game, and just one of the biggest NFL games of the year, and obviously one of the biggest games of the year for both the Eagles and the 49ers. And you can imagine that the game itself, not great. Obviously, the Eagles got absolutely blown out by the 49ers. It was kind of close at the beginning, but, I mean, San Fran really just ran away with that game almost from the jump. Debo went crazy. Brock Purdy had himself a nice game. Christian McCaffrey was Christian McCaffrey. And an Eagles defense that usually is pretty good, pretty stout, they could get no pressure on Brock Purdy. And they did a bad job of tackling. I mean, the 49ers got so many yards after the catch. I mean, remember that play Juwan Jennings just absolutely throwing off? I think it was James Bradbury. I can't remember exactly who it was, but just throwing off the Eagles DB and just walking into the end zone. So the Eagles, usually a team who gets after the quarterback, tackles well, did neither of those things Sunday evening. And again, 49ers just kind of ran away with that one. But leading up to the game, obviously had a good time, got in Saturday around 11-ish, and went to go get some food, went to Cleaver's. It was the first time we had been to Cleaver's in Philly. It was really good. Got a cheesesteak, and they had these like chicken Philly egg rolls too. Like, they were really good. So we got that. We went to Cleaver's. We went to this holiday market on Saturday that was in the city, and it was really nice. It was like, it kind of had like a, it wasn't like a completely German themed holiday market, but it did have some German themed food in there. Had some holiday beverages that we indulged in. Had some shops. So good stuff. We got some commemorative mugs from our experience there. We did go, it was on, was it Sunday before? No, it was Saturday. Saturday, we also, after we left the holiday market, we went to, I think it's the original Mitchell & Ness store. If you know Mitchell & Ness, you shop Mitchell & Ness, they have a lot of, obviously, sportswear, a lot of good sportswear gear, hats, hoodies, jerseys, all that good stuff. If you know about Mitchell & Ness, obviously, they have one here in Lenox, I believe, and there are probably some in other places here in Georgia, but I know they have one in Lenox for sure. But either way, we went to, I believe, again, the OG original Mitchell & Ness store. Simone got a very nice windbreaker, Eagles windbreaker. I found myself a old school red. It was like red, silver, black throwback Deion jersey that I had to get. So got that, spent a little chunk of change on that. I wasn't planning on spending any money in Mitchell & Ness, but you know it happens. So that was a fun time. Then just kind of chilled out the hotel, and we got some Italian food and just chilled out Saturday night, watched the SEC championship. I told Smola, hey, I'm down with going. I want to go to the holiday market. I want to explore the city a little bit, but about 4 o'clock, we either need to be on the way to the hotel so I can pull up the SEC championship game on my phone and watch it until we get back to the hotel, or we need to be in the hotel by 4 p.m. I ain't playing around. I got to watch the SEC championship game. And so we were on the way back by 4 o'clock. I was watching the SEC. I started watching the SEC championship game in an Uber, and then obviously finished off watching it at the hotel. So it was a good time and cheered on the dogs, and obviously they didn't get the win. But Sunday, went to the tailgate. It was a little bit misty. Not really rainy, but a little misty. But still had plenty of fun at the tailgate. They were serving up cheesesteaks. Delicious. Obviously had a high income of cheesesteaks. And I am not complaining about that at all, because cheesesteaks are one of my favorite foods. But anywho, fun time at the tailgate. A lot of, obviously, Eagles fans out there. There were a lot of 49ers fans, too. The 49ers were out on Sunday in Philadelphia. They were out. I do have to mention that. We saw a bunch at our hotel, a bunch on the flight to Philly, a bunch on the way back from Philly last night. There were obviously a bunch at the game. There were some at the tailgate. So the 49ers fans were loud and proud, especially after the game was won. But all in all, it was a good time. We had fun. That's all that really matters at the end of the day. Obviously, Simone wishes there was a different outcome. And, you know, me, her obviously being my gal, I wish the Eagles would have won too. Want to see her happy, but they didn't get the job done. But every NFL team always has that game. At least one of those games where you just don't have it. You just don't have it that Sunday, and a team gets the better of you. And for the Eagles, it was another good, really, really, really good team getting the better of them on Sunday. So nothing the Eagles should be overly concerned about, but definitely something they got to bounce back from. So that was my weekend in a nutshell, but happy to be back in the city and happy to be back talking all things sports with you. But when we come back, we got to wrap things up, because it's going to be time to talk to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Tuesday edition of the morning shift right after this. And we'll wrap things up on the Tuesday edition of the Hometown Take right here live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.